This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 7 and 8, covering Her House is the Way to Sheol, Wisdom's Call, Granting an Inheritance, The Lord Possessed Me, and Favor from the Lord. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips.
And my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste, help me, O Lord.
reading from Numbers chapter 12. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous, like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, do not punish us because we have done foolishly and have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away when he comes out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her, please." But the Lord said to Moses, "If her father had spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut outside the camp 7 days, and after that she may be brought in again." So Miriam was shut outside the camp 7 days, and the people did not set out on the march till Miriam was brought in again. This is the word of the Lord.
And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Moses had a sister named Miriam, and he called her a prophetess. She's not the only one in the Bible. Luke speaks of Anna, the prophetess, who did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day, giving thanks to God and speaking of Christ to all who are awaiting the redemption of Israel. Women are not given to be preachers, but their words echo through the ages. Hannah's song remains on our lips. "My heart rejoices in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord." Mother Mary played with those lyrics and wrote perhaps the church's greatest hit single, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Who was Miriam? If she were living today, she might be an LWML member. She might have a podcast, would surely be a leader in the pro-life movement. As a young girl, Miriam was instrumental in orchestrating a little exodus, standing watch over her 3-month-old baby brother as he was put in a basket among the reeds. When a daughter of Pharaoh found baby Moses, Miriam popped up and suggested, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Clever girl. And in this way, Miriam brought their mother back to Moses. Miriam would remain at Moses' side. Having crossed the Red Sea waters, Miriam, tambourine in hand, led the choir. "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Of course, none of God's people is without flaws, without hiccups. Who among us has not been too big for his britches and needed a dressing down? And so it happened that Aaron and Moses were stirring things up, complaining that their brother Moses, probably a widower, had taken a Cushite woman for his wife. Perhaps she was from Ethiopia. But what of it? But Miriam and Aaron smelled scandal and sought leverage. "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken also through us? Aaron, as high priest, led the people in sacrifice. Miriam, by strength of character and perhaps charisma, was likewise influential. But Miriam wanted more. Miriam wanted to turn the leadership of Moses into a triumvirate, probably figuring that she had Aaron in her pocket, and the two could outvote Moses, and she could take the power for herself. Now, Moses was a meek man, more so than all the people on earth. Well, at least that's what Moses tells us. And generally, that's a good thing. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. But every virtue has its downside, every strength its potential weakness. Remember, this is the same Moses who could not bring himself to circumcise his own son, leaving it up to his first wife, Zipporah, to take matters into her own hand. So in the midst of the attempted coup, our Lord steps in. It's kind of funny. Two brothers and a sister are taken aside for a private chat and given a little talking to. And the Lord said, "Listen up. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak to him in a dream." Aaron and Miriam must have smiled and nodded. And indeed, God's people often pick up on things, see things. I've been teaching for many years, and yet in the middle of a Bible class, someone says something that takes me by surprise, and I end up thinking, good point. I wish I had thought of that. It can be humbling. But Moses had more than insight. Our Lord continues, "Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth clearly and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why are you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. And at that very moment, Miriam became leprous, like snow. Her condition carried more than a physical pain. She was now a woman marked as to be avoided. What to do? Miriam and Aaron no doubt prayed, "Oh, my Lord, don't punish those who have acted foolishly and have sinned. Let not Miriam be as one dead whose flesh is half eaten." And then Moses, in mercy and no doubt appreciation for his sister, prayed to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her. Please, I beg you." And the Lord answered the prayer of Moses, but not without a catch. So Miriam was outside of the camp for 7 days as a reminder to both her and the people that she had overstepped. Now, why does this all matter? What was at stake? Consider that the entirety of the Old Testament is built on the foundation of the Pentateuch, the writings of Moses. Whatever Aaron preached, whatever good news Miriam had to share, would have to be based on the words given to Moses, even as our own preaching must be based on God's word alone. What would have happened if the Lord had not taken Aaron and Miriam to task? Well, the broth would have been spoiled by too many cooks. The children of Israel would have been confused, tugged this way and that. What if Miriam had gained the leadership that she had craved? God's Old Testament people would have become the ancient ELCA or the United Methodist Church. Israel would be Israel in name only. We see today that no church that has adopted women's ordination has fared well, all falling to the ideologies, the rainbow flags of our day. But Miriam did the right thing. Having suffered a rebuke, she seems to have understood, and she entered back into the fold. She lived and died and was buried in the Lord. May a word to the wise be sufficient for us all. When we take what the Lord has not given to us, we are diminished, less than God intended. Consider the matter from another vantage point. Today has been declared a National Day of Remembrance for Charlie Kirk, whose name must be spoken. Charlie Kirk is a martyr who took a bullet for the sake for speaking the truth of God's good creation, who spoke of Christ's resurrection mere minutes before his own death. Will his organization survive, do you think? I used to not think so, but I do now. Charlie is gone, but his widow Erica carries on the legacy. If you haven't seen Erica's talk at Charlie's memorial, go and watch it on YouTube today. Erica spoke with conviction and power that no ELCA priest, no female bishop of Canterbury could ever muster. Erica spoke of her husband's leadership, but not in a mousy way. She called upon men to be worthy of their calling. She spoke gloriously of how women are made for men and men for women. She spoke of Christ's sacrifice. Such faith can move mountains. If you saw the memorial, you may remember that the Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, spoke of Christ's death as a payment for sin, a fundamental truth that some who bear the name of Lutheran have a difficulty saying. You heard J.D. Vance admit that he had spoken more and more openly about Jesus in the last week than he had in a lifetime. How could he let Erica down? Recall the Church of Pentecost. Imagine Peter standing up to preach, knowing that the mother of our Lord was sitting in the front row. There was no way he could let her down. He would do his best to make Mary proud. Timothy no doubt felt the same about Lois and Eunice. Many of us likewise think of faithful grandmothers, mothers, and wives. I think of women who greeted me when I came to serve as a pastor in Arcadia, Indiana. They showed me the love of older sisters and mothers, and they made sure, or at least tried to make sure, that my robe wasn't wrinkled, a task now left to a too often unsuccessful wife. These are strong women, good women, faithful to God. Without such women, things would fall apart, and we do well to honor them by a faithfulness that matches their own. Christ invites us to communion. Satan pits us one against the other. The ancient serpent tells women that they need to become like men and encourages men to abdicate their responsibilities. Miriam fell, briefly, into that trap. But together we can do what we could never do alone. And God gives us the perfect picture in a son who became a groom and laid down his life for his bride, the church. And so, today we thank God for prophets and pastors and martyrs like Charlie. So also do we thank God for the women of our church, women like Priscilla and Lydia and Dorcas and Erica, and the women here present, women who support the gospel ministry, women of strength, whose strength is in the Lord. And so, even as Miriam received a rebuke, she remains our choir director, and we join in her chorus. Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. Amen.
Amen.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you.
For you answer me.
Hide your face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew a right spirit within me.
Cast me not away from your presence.
And take not your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life.
My lips will praise you.
For you have been my help.
In the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
Unite my heart to your name.
I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart.
And I will glorify your name forever.
May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you.
May those who love your salvation say evermore, God's praise.
Save your people and bless your heritage.
Be their shepherd and carry them forever.
Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my plea for grace.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you show mercy to your people in all their troubles. Grant us always to recognize your goodness. Give thanks for your compassion and praise your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, before whom all in heaven and earth shall bow, grant courage that your children may confess your saving name in the face of any opposition from a world hostile to the gospel. Help them to remember your faithful people who sacrificed much and even faced death rather than dishonor you when called upon to deny the faith. By your Spirit, strengthen them to be faithful and to confess you boldly, knowing that you will confess your own before the Father in heaven, with whom you and the Holy Spirit live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you,
my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, that you have been
bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.